This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Ti Xiao Yik and Lim Su Ann. Earlier in the hour, we talked about a phenomenon, an increasing phenomenon of birds dying because they are crashing into glass buildings within city areas. So we talked about the impact of that on bird populations.
And before we get into our second story, you can get in touch with us if you have any thoughts you want to share. Twitter is at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us 0377-332900. So next up, we're discussing a recent article by Banama, which detailed the experiences of two women who actually ended up resorting to social media to adopt a child. Mm. So Banama carried out searches on social media for a month, and what they found was that various accounts with the keyword quote-unquote foster child were actually offering babies up for adoption. But, you know, this was at a cost of between 10,000 to 20,000 ringgit. Mm. And in some cases, the cost is even fixed according to the infant's nationality, or even things like whether the infant was a legitimate child or
right,
not.
Of course,
yeah. And the process is actually deceptively simple because the prospective adoptive parents only have to provide their personal particulars, which includes, you know, things like your occupation, your address, and of course that payment of 10 to 20,000 ringgit. And there is also a deposit to pay as well that could be between 2,000 to 7,000 ringgit, and which is supposed to pay for the maternity costs at a private hospital as well as an allowance for the mother of the baby.
Sounds like something like a cross between a scam and illegal and trafficking, really. So according to that Banama report, one woman, Seema, which is not her real name, has been changed for privacy purposes, of course. And Seema was not able to have her own child, and she had resigned to adopting a child over social media. And she was almost cheated by the mother of a baby she had come across about 10 months ago, when the mother had asked her to transfer money first before she would be allowed to see the baby. And when Seema refused to do that, she was blocked from contacting them again. And in that same report, it talked to another woman, Fiza, also not her real name, and she recounted her experience of wanting also to adopt a baby over social media. Twice she had negotiated with two different mothers to adopt a baby, but both times she was turned down because the mothers had received so-called better offers from others. And even now she continues to receive messages on social media from people offering babies for adoption.
Yeah, and I mean, both women have not adopted babies online right now. And when they were asked why they didn't go through the social welfare department to adopt a child, they lamented that the process is slow and requires much more vetting and screening compared to how they would do it online.
Which is rightly so. That is the process that should be in place.
Yeah, and that is also for the safety of the child. Absolutely. Because you want to make sure that the child is going to a proper family,
Absolutely.
Someone who can afford to care for them, that the environment is right to raise a child, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, the two ladies also lamented that they would not be able to choose the gender of the baby if they went through the correct channels.
Right.
And, I mean, besides the whole lack of legality and opacity of going online, right, to adopt a child, there's also no guarantee really that you will get the child that you wanted.
Yes.
Because you don't know who it is you're dealing with.
To.
Yeah, and it is a complete stranger to you.
Yeah. So, and the problem of baby selling isn't new to Malaysia either. Back in 2016, if you remember, there was a documentary by Al Jazeera which exposed a baby selling racket right here in Malaysia, and it was titled Malaysia Babies for Sale. The documentary was produced by an investigative reporting team that went undercover for 4 months, posing as potential baby buyers. And the documentary eventually revealed a network involving traffickers, doctors, and even government officials, all of them profiting from the most vulnerable women and children. So the undercover journalists found that babies are valued based on their gender. So boys are valued more than girls, and also their skin tone. Fair children are valued over dark-skinned children.
Yeah, it's really depressing to see these children really being treated as commodities.
Absolutely.
You're buying and selling them.
And
I mean, I guess now with technology, you know, people very much using social media every day. It's, I guess, I don't know, perhaps it's unsurprising that the network has moved online as well. So to get better insights on this, I spoke earlier to Shamla Sekharan from Voice of the Children earlier today, and I first asked her if, you know, she thought that, if she thinks that technology has changed how babies are being adopted outside the law.
Yeah, definitely, because now a lot more people can access those who are ready and able and willing to sell children. Previously, it was really by word of mouth. so you had to, you know, find out path to getting a child,
mm-hmm.
whereas now you can just, in a sense, Google it or Facebook it. So in that sense, the information travels further and faster than it used to. Because you have to remember, if you want a child who is going to be born or already just born, i.e. you don't want an older child, a child like a toddler,
mm-hmm.
you want a baby, then it's important, you know, the amount of time that passes is important. So it's able, you're able to then access the pathways to getting the child that you want, perhaps faster and easier without and cutting out middlemen also.
And next, I also asked Sharmila why adopting babies online is illegal.
It is because it is not going through the two forms of adoption that we have, mm-hmm. i.e. The Adoption Act or the Registration of Adoption Act. And that's for Peninsular Malaysia. Sabah and Sarawak have their own ordinances for adoption. So in essence, for the whole of Malaysia, there are four adoption processes that could apply. Of course, Sabah and Sarawak have their own, and then there's the one for the Muslims, which is Registration of Adoption Act 1952,
mm-hmm.
and for the court adoption, which is the Adoption Act of 1952.
But despite that, adopting babies online is illegal, right? You're not going through the right channel. Sharmila also says that there are no legal consequences for parents who are adopting their child online, nor for those really who are selling the babies.
Unfortunately, not at the moment. Apart from the fact that, you know, there is a certain level of emotional disruption in the family, because very often that's the first time a child is told that he or she's adopted, and, you know, the tantrums that go with that, because, you know, they are affected by it, and the parents are affected by that whole process. Unfortunately, no, which is why we really want baby selling to be stated very clearly in Atep Som, and for there to be serious consequences,
mm-hmm.
for people who, well, both sides, right? The
mm-hmm.
The buyer and the seller will be liable.
And so in this next clip, Sharmila also shares some insights into, you know, what is actually happening when babies are put up for adoption online.
What is happening now is that, for example, if I am pregnant, I can sell this child, either because I can't take care of the child, because I I'm an unwed mother and therefore I don't want the stigma, or just because I want a bit of money and I'm able to produce. I can sell this child for a higher fee than perhaps another child, like a female child, say, for example,
mm-hmm.
a baby, right? But what I will then say is, so that direct transaction doesn't happen, what I will then say is, oh, you've got to pay for me to have salmon every day and eat almonds every day. All these are expensive foods. You know, I need X amount of money because I'm carrying this child. I can't work and I want to eat the right kind of nutrients and nutritious food so that the child will be healthy. So suddenly, the prospective adoptive parents are now going to have to pay me a significant amount of money as I carry this child for them.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative also is where the child is already born and parents really want the money, or if the child is going to be born and they have to pay for the hospital care of the birth mother.
Mm.
So we can see that it's couched in a way that seems kind. It's couched in a way that seems fairly innocuous, but actually, generous, you know, where you're only helping, you know, you're going to take this child, you want a healthy child, so just make sure the mother who's carrying the child is healthy also.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, so it's couched under that, those terms, or, you know, you don't want the mother to go and deliver in the back alley if you want to get this child, so pay for the mother to go and deliver in a private hospital and give them the best care. The birth mother, that you're able to, that perhaps as a family you would have given the adoptive mother if she were carrying the child. So, you know, this is what's happening, quite apart from the fact that once a baby is born, the baby is actually seriously transacted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, banking X amount into this particular account and then the baby is delivered. What we're also seeing is once the connection is made online, then whether it's online or not, once the connection is made, sometimes there's this agreement that, okay, you know, be at a particular place at a particular time, like a park or even a shopping complex, a shopping mall car park, and a particular car will drive by with a baby in it, and mm-hmm. you can look at the baby and see whether you want him.
So quite a bit disturbing, really, to hear the practices that's happening.
And like you said, treating them as commodities.
Mm, yeah, and more importantly as well, when these babies are adopted through illegal means, right, you're not going through the right channels, mm-hmm. this practice could actually have long-lasting consequences on the child's life, on the family as well. And so Sharmila also shares her concerns.
One, the fact that we think that it's okay to transact a person. And, you know, very good citizens, middle class, you know, people and higher, do not think that there's anything wrong in this. Mm-hmm. It's fundamentally trafficking. You're fundamentally treating this baby or this child as a commodity that you buy and sell. But a lot of adoptive parents do not see this. They do not see that this is actually buying and selling a commodity, and you're treating a human being, a little human being, as much as you may grow to love him or her. You're treating her at the first instance as a commodity. And would you tell this child, I paid whatever, $10,000, $15,000, $30,000 for you? What is the message that you give that child? If you can't be honest with your child, then there's a fundamental problem in terms of the relationship. If you tell the child, you know, at an appropriate age, yeah, you know, we paid $30,000 for you. Are you saying that's the value? I am worth $30,000. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, of course, is the bigger problem, the child being able at any stage to know and discover who he or she actually is, their background and their identity. As much as we want to give children a better life and they're adopted hopefully into something better, at the end of the day, sometimes people have genetic problems which may not come to light until much later, until they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of doctors need to know is what is your predisposition for certain illnesses, for example. And if you don't know what it is, sometimes they're unable to take countermeasures. You know, it's not known. What's your case history? And when they ask your history, they also look at what your family history is. All this is lost to this child when we go through this transaction, but more kind of imminently is the fact that then the child is, very often what happens in these cases is that the adopted parents' names go down on the birth certificate as the birth parents.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no formal adoption that takes place. And when there's no formal adoption that takes place, at some stage, if the authorities find out that actually this child was not born to this family, then they will withhold citizenship. They will ask for documentation to be returned.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, they will withhold the child's My Card at the age of 12.
Right.
And they'll ask for DNA tests, blah, 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 all that. You know, you can see that from the DNA test that there's absolutely no relationship between the child and the adoptive parents who are listed as the birth parents. Then immediately the child's birth cert is revoked. The child at the age of 12 or 13 becomes a non-citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And all the implications of citizenship being revoked attached to that child, much less the fact that very often that's when the child suddenly discovers he or she is adopted,
mm-hmm.
and the emotional trauma that the child experiences at that stage, as well as the emotional and psychological trauma of suddenly I'm no longer Malaysian.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go through the whole process of applying for citizenship under Article 15A, which again is discretionary, and, you know, are they going to get it? Are they not going to get it? So associated with that is the fact that schooling is interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pass that age, then, you know, even your work, going to university, all that kind of stuff is interrupted.
So that was Sharmila Sekaran from Voice of the Children sharing her thoughts on this practice of babies being put up for adoption online and really just treating them as commodities, as you were saying earlier, because you are buying and selling a tiny human.
Yes, it's a transaction and it's a transaction based on their assets. You're putting a value to certain assets like ethnicity and skin color and gender. And really, you know, going back to the original Bernama report that we talked about earlier, the two mothers, and I'm sure many other parents or prospective parents feel that the formal and legal process is too tedious, but it is tedious for a reason. It is lengthy for a reason. You should go through proper checks and balances to ensure that children are placed with the right families, and you know, everything should be done with due process. If you have any thoughts on any of the two stories we've discussed, you can still share your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 01878988899. If you're on Facebook, look us up. Our page is BFM The Bigger Picture. You can drop us a message there. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. But first, some music to take you out. Here's Pearl Jam with Daughter, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.